I love this reading from Isaiah. This is it's such a curious thing to me, because when I see this, you know, there's a commission, there's a specific task, and there's a reward for it. Share your bread with the hungry, shelter the oppressed, the homeless, clothe the naked. I don't know how many naked people you see running around, but make sure you do that too. And what comes from that? Well, your light will break forth like the dawn. Your wound will be quickly healed. Vindication shall go before you. It's such a great promise. It's such an exciting opportunity. It's like, you know, I do these things and God is with me. I do these things and I'm brought into all of these great promises, this great and exciting opportunity. And I thought about that, and I was thinking about this reading, and I was reflecting on it, and then I thought, that is hardly how it always happens. That's not even close to how it usually happens. I think to myself of the various times where, you know, I've seen someone in need, and all the various and strange things that have to happen to help somebody in need. Most oftentimes, I'll see somebody on the side of the road if they look like they're stuck, not like they pull out to the side of the road to take a picture or something, but if they look genuinely stuck, if I pull off and offer help, I tell you, 9 times out of 10, I get the same response. I get the, no, really, I'm okay. I've got AAA on the way, or the tow truck, or my husband, or my wife, or somebody's coming, but apparently they don't want me. Whatever it is, it's not me, and that's not okay. I guess they assume I'm going to kill them. I'm some kind of serial killer that apparently wanders around looking for stranded people. I don't know, but I mean, this is the genuine fear in their eyes. It's never very comforting for me, but it's one of those moments where we genuinely want to help, and yet the response is, no, really, I'm good. I don't need that help. So I'm not really sure that's really sharing with people in need. And I can't think of a particular situation. One time I was driving back from O'Hare Airport. I was a seminarian at Mundelein Seminary, so I was on my way back. I dropped somebody off. I was on my way back, and I saw somebody with a tire blowout, and I pulled off to the side and offered to help change the tire. And I, you know, it was an experience like changing any tire, so by the time you're done, your hands are covered in something that came off the tire. It's always black, and, you know, you sneeze, so you've covered half your face with blackness, and, you know, it's usually on your arm or your skin itch too, and so now you're half covered in whatever kind of dirt they make tires out of, and I wished them well. They drove off. I put their tire in the back seat, and I drove back to the school, and I got back to the school, and I got yelled at for 20 minutes because I was late, and this was unacceptable, and, you know, I was not supposed to be late, and here I am. I don't even look presentable. I'm filthy. I'm dirty, and that is just, you know, there's no excuse for this. It doesn't really feel like the light of vindication shining behind me when I'm getting yelled at for being covered in dirt because I tried to stop and change somebody's tire. Kind of the opposite at that point. And I think it's such a powerful reminder to us that we are challenged with this. We are challenged to share, to give of what we have, but genuinely to remember that this great promise of the light of vindication, it may not come right away. It may not come immediately. It may actually feel like quite the opposite. Sometimes it kind of feels like we're being punished when we try and help people. It almost feels like that, you know, there's more problems that come from trying to be of assistance, and there's more trouble along the way, and it can be genuinely challenging. It can be genuinely frustrating, and it finally comes down to the question, well, why am I doing this? If the light of vindication isn't shining before me and the glory of the Lord is in my rear guard, then well, why am I even bothering? The challenge actually comes right into the gospel. It's because you're salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The challenge placed before us is that life can be pretty bitter, and it can be very frustrating, it can be very challenging, it can be wonderfully hard in so many terrible ways that we are called to be salt of the earth. If you've ever tried to remove all of the sodium from your diet, you discover that food tastes terrible without salt, and it is really just an awful experience, and you want to go back to having salt again because it brings flavor to it. It genuinely brings that flavor to things. And it brings flavor to an otherwise uninteresting situation. And if it's anything like the road salt they spray on the roads around us, sometimes it tastes terrible, but at least it makes it far more interesting. There is that genuine challenge to us that actually comes from being salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are called to be that light. It hardly makes any sense to light a torch and then put it under a wicker basket, mostly because wicker is highly flammable, and why you lit a torch I will never understand, but apparently you just wanted to set fire to your wicker basket. But eventually it has to be more light. That light has to shine out for people. It has to shine to something particular so that people can see us for who we are. You know, it's no coincidence that churches are put on hills on purpose. St. Peter's Cathedral in Rockford is actually set in the highest elevation in the entire city of Rockford. doesn't really sound all that impressive because this is Illinois and everything is flat. But it, you know, the concept is really cool that St. Peter's is at the highest elevation in the city of Rockford. It used to be known as Watchman's Hill. It was the high point. I mentioned that fact at the 4:30 Mass, and somebody told me that this very parish at its founding was at the highest point in Dixon. Since then, Dixon's grown bigger, so now there are higher points. But originally, this was the highest point in Dixon. It's not a coincidence that these churches are set on hills. It is so they can be visible, bright, shining witnesses to those around them. It falls to us to be those bright, shining witnesses. The church actually is an example of what we are called to be. And so we have this challenge to be this light, to be this salt, to actually give to our community in these ways. And it's not always easy. Oftentimes it's hard. And we always have to try and make these assessments. And eventually we're going to come across people who just try to take advantage of a situation, and so it's harder to give of ourselves. It's harder to give of our time. And so we kind of feel reticent at times. And we feel, you know, we have a food pantry here in Dixon. You know, if they're hungry, they can go to the food pantry. Or if they're homeless, you know, we have pads. You know, we can sort of mentally draw these conclusions. But at the same time, if there's somebody very much at our door in genuine need, we have to see if there's something we can do. And granted, sometimes there's not a lot we can do. And I'll be the first to point out to you, there are starving children all over the world. There are people struggling all over the world. I can't change any of that. But the one staring me in the face, that's something we definitely have to try and do something for. And it's always fascinating to me to see the people who are genuinely in need. Because people who are genuinely in need usually ask for it the least and are most hesitant to receive it. And those who actually probably could find another way, they're more than happy to take from somebody else. And it's unfortunate, but it is a challenge that we face. I don't think I'll ever forget. I was a deacon at Holy Cross in Batavia, and I was out running some errands. And a man came up to me in the McDonald's parking lot, and he said, I just need some gas to get home. Things did not go the way they were supposed to. I'm suddenly stuck here, and I just need some gas to get home. And I told him, I said, I'm not going to give you any money, but if you follow me to the gas station, I'll buy you some gas. And sure enough, he followed me to the gas station, and I started putting gas in his tank. And I don't think I'll ever forget, I hit about 2.5 gallons. And he reached out his hand, and he put his hand on mine. I was pumping the gas, and he said, that's all I need, that's it. I don't need any more, I just needed a little bit, I just need enough to get home. The man wanted 2 gallons of gas. I haven't even broken $10 yet. I was more than happy to try and help someone who was genuinely just in need. It is one of those great challenges that we face, that sometimes just a little bit can go a long way. And granted, it may not always feel like it's going the way it's supposed to. Sometimes it's just more frustrating. It seems that it's just not going the way we want it to. But that doesn't mean we should stop trying. We are challenged to be the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and this is our challenge. And I gotta say, when I look at these, sharing the bread with the hungry is not too hard, sheltering the oppressed can be a great challenge. I'm always fascinated by clothe the naked. Because I'll be honest, I have wandered around all kinds of places throughout the world. I've still never seen naked people just sort of running around. I've never thought to myself, man, I should bring a sweater, you know, in case I find one of them naked people. That has never been a concern of mine. And yet, when I really reflected on this, it actually occurred to me that we face a lot more naked people than we realize. Because unfortunately, we found ourselves in a certain time of life, in a certain part of the world, where many people are stripped of their human dignity. And they're no longer treated like people. Sure, they have a shirt on their back and clothes to cover them to protect them from the elements, but they no longer get to be treated like people. Sometimes, in my experience, oftentimes, one of the greatest needs we face in our world today, especially here in the United States, is a little piece of our time. And if we could give people just a little bit of our time and let them be heard, let them be respected and treated with the dignity of any human person, the same dignity that we should extend to each and every person, and hear them, truly let them be heard. And I assure you that we are actually accomplishing something far more incredible than most of us will ever realize. And that if we're willing to give that little piece of our time, we honestly might be able to change the world one person at a time. You know, I'll never forget one of my neighbors. He, He lived probably the furthest away in my neighborhood, but it was a very small neighborhood, so it never took very long to get there. And as soon as winter rolled around, he did the same thing every time. Anytime somebody got stuck, and trust me, in my neighborhood, everybody got stuck eventually because they never really plowed the roads and we had ditches instead of sidewalks. So eventually everyone ended up in a ditch. He would magically appear like some little fairy. And he was not a very tall man. He was probably about 5'1", 5'2". And everyone was excited to see him get out of his car, which supports my theory that everyone assumes that tall people are killers and short people are helpful. So apparently if you're tall, you're just a killer. It's a working theory. I'm still trying to fully flesh it out. But I have seen it in my own experience. But he'd pop out of his car and he'd come out and he was a hunter, so he had this one-piece hunting suit that kept him warm in the winter. And he'd pop out of his Jeep and he would tell people, he said, happiness is owning a Jeep in the wintertime. And it didn't matter who was stuck or where they were, he always found a way to get them out. And that man was a genius with physics, because sometimes he pulled out cars that were way bigger than his, but he still managed to do it. And he just had that great genuine smile and he just helped. It didn't matter who they were. And I'm not asking you to drive around trying to dig everyone out of a ditch or pull over and try and help every single car. I'm not asking you to mow everybody's lawn in the summertime. What I am challenging each and every one of you is to learn to give of your time where you can. To give of yourself in the ways that you are capable. Because we are called to be that salt. And we are called to be that light. And if we can respond to those immediately in front of us, it is a far more profound effect that we give credit. And sometimes we don't even have to go very far. We might not even have to go outside our very front door. Sometimes the person who needs our time the most, who really needs to know that God is there and present and loves them and cares about them and needs to be reminded of the great dignity that they are, sometimes that person is sitting across from us from the kitchen table. It is a challenge for each and every one of us to recognize that we need to continue, and we need to maintain the dignity of each and every human person. To restore their dignity, to give each person their time, and to acknowledge them as the people of God. If we can do that, well, they'll still be starving children in Africa, but we'll be a lot closer to helping them too.